This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, welcome back, Tuesday Night Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you doing out there in the state of Washington, my friend?
Good, man. Been really enjoying, summer, the shift from, you know, the grind of the school year to the transition to, you know, all the things we have to do as educators to sort of retool and rest and rejuvenate while we're working. But, you know, summer off season for educators right now. So,
well, you know, if you're a traditional teacher, this is one of the three reasons. It's about coming to the end here now of why you got into teaching: June, July, and August. Remember, I hated that one. I was always like, oh my goodness, right?
It's when we can, you know, go to the bank during normal hours. It's when we can, you know, just get back into all the things we need to catch up on: dentist appointments, you know, doctor's appointments, all the things that during the school year,
yeah,
we don't have a 9 to 5. So, well, and
it's actually to the time we go to the restroom, because anybody who's always asked that question, when do teachers go to the bathroom? June, July, and August. Summer, man. We hold it until the summer. Johnny, we have been having some excellent shows. Long form pods going to be released hopefully this week, though. You know, Alan Collins, student loan justice, Lisa Ansel talking to us. You know, we've been really breaking down student loans, looking at the predatory side of this, you know, talking to borrowers across the country. In fact, if you're out there listening, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I want to open up that right away if you want to jump in here and give us a call, because we are talking about student loans again. You know, we've analyzed, we talked about cancellation, forgiveness, but a huge issue that comes up with this, and I got some pointers from some listeners who said, hey, what about the mental health issues of people carrying the student loan debt? And I just want to go to real quickly thehill.com and some statistics here. 54% of student borrowers experience mental health challenges due to the amount of debt owed. 56% of those whose mental health are affected by student loans say they experienced anxiety, while about another third suffered depression. The survey also found student borrowers are putting off major life events like starting a family due to their debt. And Johnny, here it is, right? It's like we've been talking about the fairness, what it means to be a freedom-loving American, the reality of restoring bankruptcy, putting away the predatory loan. But it's time we talk to Dr. Carol Diaz-Lopez, or as she likes to say, just Dr. Carol. She's the founder and CEO of Empowering Breakthroughs. She's also adjunct faculty at Golden Gate University. Welcome to the show, Dr. Carol. Dr. Carol, our mental health expert, you are a practicing, give us your exact title just so everybody gets this.
I'm a registered psychological associate in the state of California.
Okay.
Which entitles me to do therapy with clients.
So you have two unpaying customers right now in front of you that we're kind of milking your services tonight. So, Johnny, you didn't know I was going to set us up with a free counseling session tonight, did you?
And all our listeners, too. I mean, there is such a high need.
Carol, what do you think?
Be the first,
Break it down, Carol. So those are the quick statistics, though. So student loan, anxiety, mental health, what's the relationship? What do you see in your practice? How do we make sense of another dimension to the student loan crisis?
Well, it all centers around the psychology of debt. And there's been some studies done around this in recent years, because the state of debt is increasing, you know, yearly, right? Mm-hmm. The credit card usage and people just not being able to make ends meet. And the one thing that the studies are showing is because everything becomes extraordinarily unmanageable. Student debt has become extraordinarily unmanageable. And because of that, there is a significant amount of shame that is attached to that. And shame is what we would call a master emotion. And it's linked to all sorts of other negative emotions, you know, including, you know, anxiety and hopelessness and despair. And sometimes when these go untreated and unchecked and unsupported, it can lead an individual to thoughts of suicide. I mean, this is where we're at now. Mm. The rates of suicide are increasing. The rates of everything is increasing. Homelessness due to lack of financial resources. It's all connected together. Mm-hmm. So when I see, you know, on Twitter, as you pointed out to me earlier, I'm extraordinarily active on Twitter. But I have come across some people who are speaking about suicide. I mean, this is no joke. And they are relating it directly to their student debt. So we know in real time that people are at their wit's end. There's mm-hmm. there's no solution, right? So if there's no solution and no one out there willing to help, then the sense of hopelessness starts to take root. And, you know, that can be catastrophic for people. Yeah. So go ahead.
No, Carol, thanks for, you know, laying that out like that. I mean, because, you know, we think about it's mental health, anxiety, despair, you link those together, right? That, you know, because even the quote, you know, let's just talk about mental health not attached to student debt. People say anxiety. Well, you're a little anxious. No. We're not talking about anxiety, like I'm anxious. I'm, you know, I'm nervous. I'm waiting for something. We're talking about that. Right. You said despair, a hopelessness. And right. then, you know, attaching that to the fact that, you know, I don't think I'm going to pay this off. You know, so here we are facing these situations and, you know, right away prompt a caller. Let's go right to the phones. Mike from Ohio. Mike, what's going on? What's going on with your world? Hopefully we're here to, you know, maybe lighten the load a little bit, at least emotionally, if we can talk to you. Mike, what's going on?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I'm already stressed out. I mean, my job itself keeps me stressed. I drive a rig, and I drive a lot in Cincinnati and Dayton and places like that, and I'm stressed from the traffic and unloading the truck and trying to get into places, and then worrying about these student loans that I'll never be able to pay off because they're weaponized against us. And I'm kind of ticked off that the weaponization committee that they've got out is not even looking at these loans. They think it's a joke. They actually are not doing a daggone thing for us. I mean, they're making money off of it. I imagine these politicians are making money off of it. That's why they don't want to do anything. They need to get off their butts and get something done.
We need to get something done, but, you know, Mike, and appreciate the call, and you put it in there. And again, you've called before, and I want to acknowledge that and thank you for calling back. But you point out the fact that, too, this stereotype of, you know, who is this college debt student loan? Here's Mike. He's a big rig driver. You know, he's got some student loan debt out there making, you know, doing everything he can. In fact, creating the American dream for others, because, again, without truck drivers, there is no American dream. But, you know, Mike, you know, and we know the politicians, the weaponization, when you're out there driving, though, and I wonder about this since we have Dr. Carol here, are there moments when the debt is something that becomes, you know, is it overwhelming the way Dr. Carol talked about it? You know, is there a sense of going like, I don't know when I'm ever going to get out of this? Tell us your own experience.
Yeah, I know I'll never get out of it because of the way they've got it. With capital interest, and you can't get anything paid on the principal, you're just paying for interest on interest, and it keeps getting higher and higher, and nothing's getting done. So I'm not even going to pay it. Check with them. You know, they should help people out. I mean, you know, I hauled all through the pandemic, hauled medical supplies to the hospitals, oxygen to nursing homes. And you think I can get any public service? No, they won't help me out because I'm not a public servant. I didn't teach in school, or I'm not working for the government. But yet I did haul government stuff through the pandemic to help these hospitals and everything. But you think they'd help somebody that did something for the government? No. I mean, I'm pretty much screwed. And well,
Mike, let me tell you what, you are not screwed. You are listening to the Busted Pencils. We are here. We're talking about this. Carol, give Mike a little bit of, you know, something to hold on to there in this moment. Like you said, compounding interest. And somebody actually wrote me back and was like, dude, you signed up for compounding interest. That was part of the loan. Get used to it. I'm like, no, you're not recognizing. It's like, yes, interest, we wanted to pay, we don't want to not get nothing, you know, something for nothing. But you're talking about people, what, you know, what Mike's putting out there, and we've talked about people out there who've taken out $20,000, have paid back $50,000, and still owe another $60,000. That's that type of emotional toil. Carol, we probably have about, you know, a minute there, so if you want to give Mike a little something.
I do. I just want to tell you, Mike, you know, first of all, I just the utmost respect to you, and you're not alone. Okay. Like there are going to be millions of us who are coming to the conclusion you are, and they're not going to be getting any money out of us whatsoever, because our survival has to trump, excuse the pun, but it has to trump the payment for the student loan. I'm sorry, but you know, everybody is tapped out. We're burned out. We're tapped out. So the solution, though, the most quickest solution is building community, connection, right? Connecting with us as a group. Our group is growing by the day. I mean, we are, and we're not going anywhere. Right. We're here for the duration. So connect with us. You know, we're building community. I'm trying to get some support groups off the ground. You know, I want a safe space for people to come and talk about this openly, safely, and not be trolled. That the biggest thing, not be trolled because of how you feel. So just know that you've got a whole support system, you know, by you, Mike, and we're not going anywhere.
No, okay? We are absolutely not going anywhere. Thank you, Dr. Carol. And Mike, thank you for calling in from Ohio. And again, as Mike, as Carol said, thank you. You know, and the service to America that you provide by keeping those things going, the oxygen supplies, medical supplies, and recognizing that, yes, guess what? To get that CDL license, getting a student loan is something that happens, and this is what we do. When we get back, more Busted Pencils with our guest, Dr. Carol Diaz-Lopez, founder and CEO of Empowering Breakthroughs. We are talking student loan debt and mental health. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, back after the break.
MWAUK.
Fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, student loans. We've been on this now for a good month. Continue to talk about this. We wait for the Supreme Court's decision on that partial cancellation of some debt for some people out there to give them some relief. You know, we've covered this topic up and down, looking at the weaponization, the no bankruptcy, all of the issues here that lays this out for why the cancellation is not just a giveaway to freeloaders, but, you know, the reality, the long-term reality of carrying around maybe an insurmountable debt. And our guest is Dr. Carol Diaz-Lopez. And she's our mental health expert here. And Carol, we started talking about this in the first segment, you know, and during the break, I asked you to validate whether, you know, people are always talking about, you know, that's the beauty of compounding interest. And I was thinking about the mental health toll of debt and like this is like, isn't, you know, not the beauty, but the god awfulness of the fact that compounding anxiety, compounding despair by carrying around this burden. It's not like people wake up daily and go, well, here I am at my anxious level again today. I'll just go on and go through. But carrying around that is quote, the mental health condition that leads to a deepening of problems, Dr. Carol?
Yes, absolutely. you're spot on, because it becomes intrusive thoughts, right? We could be going along our day and then all of a sudden we think, oh my God, the payments are starting, right? Mm-hmm. And then what does that do to our body? It sends our heart rate up. It sends our palms into sweat. You know, we really start to panic to mm-hmm. a certain degree. Some people are actually experiencing panic attacks related to this, but it affects our ability to sleep properly the way we need to maintain our health, our ability to eat properly the way we need to, exercise. So all of these, all of this pounding on, mm-hmm. you call it compounding, I call it pounding on, that we're experiencing, it affects really every aspect of our life. Mm-hmm. Our relationships, our physical body, our mental health, our jobs, everything, everything is affected by it. So that's why this is, we're in a crisis. That's why we have to treat it as such. Mm-hmm. And it's a mental health emergency that we are in right now.
It is. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, jump in there.
Yeah, I really appreciate this conversation, Tim, because I often, stay in the safe place in the politics of this, of we need to just figure out how to get rid of this. And, mm-hmm. and I usually quickly go to how much, you know, immediate money it puts into our local economy. And that's really a safe place, because it's a way of avoiding the real weight of the emotional and mental health impact that this does have on generations. Mm-hmm. Our guests last week, and we had the extended pod that's coming out just to dig into more of the details on this, you know, shared, you know, the heaviness mm-hmm. that people experience. And I want to, you know, thank Mike for calling. And there's a lot of Mikes out there who are just integral to everyday life. So when we're talking about in this country about student loan relief for government workers or for, you know, for teachers or for public service, I mean, I can't think of any job that people are doing that isn't for public service, mm-hmm. right? And so, I mean, there probably are some, and I'm not, you know, like throwing it out there as a challenge. I'm just thinking this isn't fixed until it's fixed for everybody. And, you know, and I get kind of exhausted at playing the game of like who qualifies, who doesn't qualify. This is a no-brainer. Wipe it clean, get the money in the economy, you know, start investing in long-term public health, and figure out how not to just bury people in work, right? I think that's it, like just being buried in work. It's important to work, but there's got to be some relief and balance, and you know, and we are in a real cruel moment where, you know, Dr. Carroll said, you know, be able to share your story without being trolled. We're in a cruel moment where we don't necessarily see the humanity in somebody suffering, whether they chose to sign on for a compounded loan, Tim, or not, right? Mm-hmm. No one signed up to be buried beyond relief. Mm-hmm. And that's where most people, like Dr. Carroll said, end up. So if you're not where Mike is, you're headed to where Mike is. And Mike's just there sooner because he's been busting his back.
Yeah.
As much done. And that's when you start to figure out you're never getting out from under this. When you really go full tilt to get rid of it, and it won't go away. And mm-hmm. so this is why it's important to build community. And I just want to make sure, Tim, I could chime in and say, when we talk about it for educators, we mean every last person in our community, because it's not fixed until it's fixed for everybody.
No, it is not. And if you're out there, 844-967-2789, give us a call like Mike did. We have Dr. Carroll here, mental health expert here, talking about student loan debt and the reality of anxiety, the compounding effects, the relationships, the physical health, the productivity. And I know we're up on coming up on the break here, Dr. Carroll, but, you know, maybe setting this up for as we come out of the next break here to think about this. You know, everybody talks about, you know, just get out there and get to work and pay off your damn bills, right? You know, mm-hmm. and you think about that, and I sit there and go, you know, how much productivity is lost to the mental health anguish that a debt a person with student loan debt carries around with them. And so when you're saying, let's, you know, start paying back your money, couldn't this be an economy booster? The amount of, you know, ability for me to go, I'm free. I can now create and give back. You know, you, so you think about this, anybody who's out there going, you freeloaders need to just get over it, get over yourself. Hey, this is a contribution that we would give to others. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk, Student Loan Mental Health, The Connections, 844-967-2789. Give us a call when we get back. Dr. Carol, our guest. Fully Leaded Education Talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Dr. Carol Diaz-Lopez. She's the founder and CEO of Empowering Breakthroughs. She's also adjunct faculty at Golden Gate University. We are talking student loans. We are talking mental health. Dr. Carol, I know we were going to, you know, try to pivot into talking about the productivity that would be put back into the economy if people could get out of this anxiety, this mental health crisis dealing with this. We've got some callers, though. I want to first go Lisa from LA. I have a feeling this is Lisa from Los Angeles. Lisa, what's going on?
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Okay, we know what a problem. What's going on?
I just wanted to comment on how important the point was that Dr. Diaz-Lopez made about creating communities of healing in this crisis. And I just wanted to relate on a personal level how much community has meant to my own sort of personal path towards regaining my mental health after being stuck in this debt crisis for so many years. So I just want to thank Dr. Diaz-Lopez for really shedding light on the importance of creating communities. And I commend her for all the tremendous work she's doing.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Really appreciate that so much. Victoria from Chicago. Victoria, you are on Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Victoria, what's happening?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm doing fine. And I just want to say to Dr. Carol, thank you. Thank you for all the hard work that you're doing with the issue around student loans and getting justice for all of us. And I just wanted to share the long-term effects of student loan debt. I just had my student loans forgiven after 38 years. And I am 65. I'm retiring. And here is some of the long-term effects. I know that this has psychologically damaged me. And I call it chronic PTSD. Dr. Carol may jump in and call it something else, but it's interesting what's happening now after the fact of these loans being forgiven is that there's some remorse and a lot of deep sadness because I can't, you know, my retirement was not fully funded due to the fact that I had to pay these student loans. Mm-hmm. So I don't have another 30 years to fund my retirement. And so I've lost those years in my life.
So Victoria, I really just want to normalize. I realize situationally, I mean, I'm so sorry. I mean, that you were put in this position. And now you've got this stressor to contend with after 38 years of chronic stress. Research has found that even though people get their debt canceled or forgiven or whatever term you want to use, the effects of it linger for years beyond. So it's not just getting the money wiped out. The damage has already been done psychologically. So it comes down to, you know, with Victoria, Lisa, Mike, I mean, we all creating community around these issues, individual issues that people are dealing with, and sharing of resources, because this is what this comes down to, is that people are not going to have enough money to live. So if we cannot count on the government the way we should be able to after paying into the government, mm-hmm. right, for all these years of our work life, and we can't count on them, that means that our grassroots movement, you know, our community building is going to have to pick up the slack. So that means everybody needs to do their part, even if it's the smallest thing. Anything helps us at this point. Anything mm-hmm. will help Victoria at this point be able to live to a ripe old age. Because as we know, the suicide rates for elderly are increasing because of this mm-hmm. issue. People are running out of money. They don't have enough money to live. So, you know, we're not going to let this happen. We're not going to let people, you know, evaporate into nothing.
Victoria, we are so glad you found this community. How are you doing? Are you okay?
I'm doing fine. It's just, you know, going through some mixed emotions around all these different changes going on. And I feel very strongly that this system needs to be fixed, because if the root cause is not addressed, this will continue and there'll be more people like myself joining my group. And I do not want to see any young person go through what I've gone through. So I continue to fight.
We appreciate that. Johnny, what do you got for Victoria?
I mean, Victoria, thank you for everything you're doing, and thanks for calling in today and sharing your voice with everybody out there who's making sense of this too and figuring out what we can do. This is a problem that spans generations, right? And that will continue to impact young people, our elders in our community. And again, I always fall back to the immediate ways that our local economy booms. Mm-hmm. But if we and think about that future too, just the mm-hmm. stability of everybody's 10 years from now, everybody's 15 years from now, everybody's 20 years from now. It's a big deal.
I just wonder too, though, and Victoria, yes, thank you for that call. And please, you know, if you need any other help, though, you know, reach out to us. We're going to have make sure that on the podcast tomorrow when we put it out there, there's a link. We're going to start beginning the conversation about how to start this digital community where we're not on Twitter getting trolled by people that are saying, you know, ridiculous things. But, you know, the point, too, that Victoria brings up, I wonder about this, Dr. Carroll, is you know, so the idea that she had to be forgiven after paying for 38 years, first of all, you know, think about mm-hmm. the fact that we even start using the language that they've put on us right now, that as if, mm-hmm. you know, for 38 years, I did something wrong and now I'm finally forgiven. No, the debt was canceled and it should have been at this point. Mm-hmm. But the, you know, the contribution though, too, is you're coming into this and, you know, I'm getting there. I start thinking about saying, like, I want to do things for my kids and my future grandkids. And, like, you know, I want to provide the opportunities that are there. And I can't. And I wonder how many people are out there thinking like that, going, you know, if only, but wondering, it's like, you know, I want to contribute. I want to make a big difference in the lives of my kids, of my grandkids. I can't do it. And so that takes me to that dark space again.
It's true. And I am in the same boat. I can't, I have four kids and I have three grandchildren and I can't help any one of them because of this. So it makes me feel very ashamed that I can't, that was my goal to be able to do that with getting a higher degree. It was absolutely my goal.
Thank you for doing that too. Because remember, this is the other thing, right? This was kind of the promise. Go get educated. Go do these things because this will give you that leg up so that you can be a contributing member to your family, to your community, to your city, to your state. This wasn't done to say, I can't wait to go and get my college for free. We did this with the idea that we were told that by doing this, it gives us a leg up. It's a better economic move. And the reality is that it seems like for a lot of people, millions of people, this is turning out to be actually a mental health trap. I wonder if that's going to Johnny.
Yeah, and a physical health trap, and well, just an economic collapse. It's like, you know, our guest a few weeks ago, you know, Lisa spoke about the experience that she was talking about, like educators, nurses, and people in this position are really hit with like a trifecta of things. And I think similar to this too, right? When you're not, when you're, you know, really buried in this, like figuratively and literally, like the weight of it, you know, it is, you know, economically, emotionally, and physically, all three of those things just crushing. And that's absolutely, you know, an aspect of this, I think, that I like to center is we can only be as healthy as people are around us in our community. You know, this is not an individualist effort. And the way student loans are set up in this country and have been for a while, it is not only individualist, but it is to really, it's set up to really screw the individual and to put them in a position where there's no way out. And we could step back if we avoided that. We could step back and say, well, that's your fault. But, you know, I'm here to say it's more people than you know. You know, our guests tonight and our guests for weeks now have been saying there is a tremendous amount of shame and guilt and pride that prevents us from having these conversations more vocally and openly. So I can promise you it's more people than you think. We just look at the numbers. We're surrounded by folks in our community. These are your customers, your neighbors, you know, taxpayers, also just patrons of local business. So it's not anti-capitalist to relieve debt. You know, it's not a liberal agenda. It's actually part of a healthy democracy to eliminate this crippling debt. I shouldn't even use that word. That's really ableist, but you know, really thinking about, you know, this crushing debt and eliminate it. And we can only be as strong as those around us. And so we lift everybody up together.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that includes removing our hostage status with bankruptcy and, you know, not provided to us as it's mandated in the Constitution. So, you know, we are, you know, we're held hostage. So this is, you know, a financial terrorist situation that we are stuck in, and our boots are like stuck in mud and we can't move. We have nowhere to go. So one thing that I did want to say about the talking of it, okay, because as this expression goes, secrets, we're as sick as our secrets, right? This is something that we have to start to feel comfortable in talking about out loud with trusted people. I'm not saying with family members, because sometimes we can't talk to our family about this. They don't relate. They don't understand it. They have very opposing opinions. That would not be a healthy move for us to talk to somebody like that. But if we find a trusted group of people that we can really talk to when we're in distress, it can be the defining moment for somebody who is on the precipice of not knowing where to go, right? So creating that safety plan with support system, support network that you can call at any given moment, I highly encourage it. Highly. It saves lives.
Well, and so we want to do that, and we're going to make sure that we move forward here. And Johnny, thanks for talking about this. And then again, you know, normalizing the conversation, Carol, I appreciate that to be talking about it. You said, though, you know, be careful of your uncles at Thanksgiving who you would never bring something up like this, but to recognize the safe space. Is there, Dr. Carol, you know, we're up here on your time here, and we really appreciate you taking the time tonight to spend with us. Is there somewhere that they can go now if to start this, or to where to build? Is there a spot, or should we look for you on Twitter?
I mean, I absolutely would love people to follow me on Twitter. I'm very active there, and I'm very, you know, I have conversations with people on Twitter. And I have no problem doing that. I will not engage with any trolls or anybody like that. And I am starting a foundation. So National Alliance on Student Debt, it's a massive undertaking. So I'm going to need boots on the ground to help me put this out there, but it's needed. It will be out there in the ether.
And if you're out there, yeah, if you're listening, we really appreciate, you know, follow us, follow Dr. Carroll on Twitter, follow Busted Pencils. We'll keep more on this. We're going to keep working with you, Dr. Carroll, because we want to build this too with you. When we get back, Johnny and Tim, we're going to break it down a little bit. Got some more to talk about. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, back after the break.
Lineup starting at 6 a.m. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 a.m.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, talking student debt. Talking student debt and mental health, the connection. Dr. Carol Diaz-Lopez, founder and CEO of Empowering Breakthroughs, our guest for the last three sections of the show, you know, really laying this out there. We've, you know, put this together, Johnny. Now it's been a month. We've been, you know, Alan Collins with Student Loan Justice. Lisa Ansel talked to us about public student loan forgiveness and how she went through this call. You know, callers like Mike, who's out there driving the truck, you know, and it just seemed to bring this in here too. And again, that statistic, you know, the fact that you're looking at, you know, well over half of student loan, this is student loan holders coming out of the Hill, a survey, thehill.com, well over half experiencing anxiety, some forms of depression, mental health. We talked to Dr. Carroll about the fact is that, you know, this isn't the quote anxiety. It's the, you know, it's a crushing. It's a crushing effect that people, have on that. And so when you're like that, it's like, how do, you know, where do I go? What do I do with this? And, you know, John, Dr. Carroll was saying, you know, one of the things to do is that as a community, you know, you think about it, 45 million people have some form of student loan debt. If half of those people, 20 million, are experiencing a form of a mental health issue right now, boy, the community of support there, though, Johnny, I think about this, right? We said this is a heavy topic tonight, an issue. But, you know, to bring it around and think about 20 million people together, you know, and the other 20 million, if you're, quote, you know, and if even if you said, yeah, I don't want to admit to the mental health issue I'm dealing with carrying around this debt, bringing all these people together like that, thinking about there's the start because, you know, it is. And I, you know, I'm a student loan debtor, you know, I feel like I'm sitting around in a room, you know, the 12 steps. My name's Tim. I'm a student loan debtor, but you know, and you think about this, it's like, yeah, at the time you took this out, it was to move ahead. It was to do something better. Hey, let's get a graduate degree. That's going to let me do more. It's going to let me work with more people. It's going to let me have more influence. Let me help out even more from that. And then here it is, you know, 30 years later, and you're going, it's like, wait a minute, like the amount I owe is more than the amount I took out. I've been paying for 30 years. Like, man, you know, those 2 a.m. nights when you wake up like that, you know, people are out there. It's like, yeah, it's crushing, man. It's crushing. And I really think about that idea I was pointing out with Dr. Carroll. It's like, you know, on those days where I feel hopeful, and if I'm sure anybody, when you feel hopeful, when you feel, you know, that weight off your shoulders, my productivity, my ability to contribute positively just exponentially increases. Johnny.
Yeah, for sure, Tim. And I'm glad that we're having this conversation and that I hope that it inspires people to get creative about this, because you know, there's no simple solution, although, you know, we're we're plugging some pretty straightforward actions in terms of, you know, reestablishing bankruptcy rights, but also, you know, looking at just eliminating this debt. But it also really means some really important and accountable actions taken in how we provide education and pathways to careers in our communities. Mm. This is really important because we've set up in a model where in order to go into service, and I'll extend that really widely, you really do need for a number of careers to obtain a college degree. And mm-hmm. so that shouldn't be at the cost of being in debt. And that's not free. And we have to be creative about that. And we have to think about who funds schools, where they're funded, how they're funded, and how we sort of balance things between the really problematic way education in this country has done an awesome job at making some people feel smart and mm-hmm. some people feel not smart for the work that they do. And this is absolutely, you know, a kind of myth that we mature into knowing isn't true, but still live out. There are a lot of really brilliant people, you know, contributing and important in our community who sidestepped and avoided and really even with insight, probably foresight, you know, avoided student debt. And right. I commend them and absolutely. I give them props. I give them hugs all the time. And I said, man, you were so right. But on the flip side, right? And if you were drawn towards, say, becoming a nurse or becoming a teacher or becoming, you know, an engineer or, you know, med school or any of these kinds of things, mm-hmm. unless you had the money up front, you had to make the kind of sacrifice that said you might end up in this kind of, you know, owing back. Oftentimes at what age, 18, 19, 20, 23, maybe even right. 25 even, you're just saying, hey, let me just get this and I'll figure it out later. You know, either way, we're in deep and the pathway out brings everybody together. Right. And so I think sometimes, Tim, I don't want the conversation to make it seem like it's simple, just mm-hmm. get rid of it. Although it is, it also requires an invitation to a creative conversation of how do we fix education moving forward. So I hope that's where we go in these shows, Tim. We can start talking to higher ed folks about, so what are we going to do differently? Yeah. Once this debt is gone, I just want to start saying once it's gone, because I believe it will go away. It yeah. has to, and it's going. There are too many Mikes and Victorias out there for us not to say, basta, enough, we're done with it.
Absolutely. And we will be, you know, we're almost done here tonight. Busted Pencils, you know, thanks for listening. Mike, thanks for calling. Lisa, thanks for calling. Victoria, thanks for calling. Dr. Carroll, our guest, student loan debt. We're putting together that group again, 20 million, 45 million people out there. We can bring this together. We have each other. We've got the support out there. We know enough now too. And as Johnny said, let's get this canceled. Let's move forward. Let's contribute. Let's give back to the society. Let's make this a strong democracy. Forgiveness, whatever you want to call it, cancellation, wipe out the debt, new democracy, strong, kicking butt, freedom, Busted Pencils, fully leaded. We'll talk to you next week.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
We are Busted Pencils!